The PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America, streaming live on PGATour.com. Follow us today and every day on Twitter at Golf Talk America. Now, the Golf Talk America crew.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you, and it is September 11th, Wednesday, September 11th, a very, very notable day here in America. And what better place and day than to be at the military tribute at the Greenbrier, which is, of course, where our man on the road, who's always on the road, seemingly, Frank Bassett, will join us while I'm in the Dallas studios, and he is there ready for the start of the tournament, which will be tomorrow, Pro-Am round today. But Frank joins us from the Greenbrier. Frank, how you doing today?
What do you think? We're here on the porch overlooking 18, just outside of the locker room and scoring and player dining, and it's fabulous. The place is absolutely magical and just doing great. Went down to the putting green yesterday, Tim, and recruited a co-host for me here since you aren't with me this week.
Oh, who'd you get? Who'd you
I don't know, some guy that happens to run the Seymour Putter Company, the longtime sponsor of this show, Mr. Jim Grunberg, the president, CEO, chief kahuna, big guy. Hey, Jim. Welcome in.
And I'm the driver also. I actually drove us over here.
you drove private, right?
I drove private,
yeah.
Yes.
I didn't fly private. I drove private. Yeah, man. So Jim's joining us, and he's got Cody out there on the putting green working with the players. So thank you, buddy.
No, absolutely. Great to be here. What a beautiful, beautiful venue. As you said, nice tribute this morning, moment of silence, as most of America experienced. And we did it here at the military tribute here at the Greenbrier. And nestled into the mountains of West Virginia.
It's beautiful. The trees are starting to turn. Look at this.
No, it's gorgeous.
Already. It's just gorgeous. But it's going to be 85 really? Degrees here today, Tim. Unseasonably hot for this time of year.
Yeah,
humidity's way up. This feels like Memphis during the St. Jude. You know, it really does. The WGC.
Are you guys at elevation? I know there's a lot of mountains around. Is it more in a valley?
Well, it feels like it's in a valley, but you're up in the mountains. So I asked that last night, and we're at about 2,400 feet above sea level.
Oh,
and I had a caddy actually ask me what that would mean with yardages, and I said, well, actually, that's your job. You should know that. I know this is a quiz. He actually said it's about 5%. So a mile is about 10% if we were playing in Denver.
Okay.
And since we're about half a mile, he said, so there you go. So these guys, beside having a very complicated yardage book, they actually then have to make that calculation of 5%.
Huh, that's interesting. Right. It really won't affect my game or your game, Tim.
No,
5% means nothing to us. Nothing.
Yeah, it's 15 yards on Tim's 300-yard drives, though.
There you go.
Quite a bit. That's driver three-wood cart path.
That's a couple balls, yeah.
Yeah.
Sprinkler heads.
You know, the other cool thing, Tim, also about this golf course is that we're sitting here overlooking the entire 18th hole because it's a par 3.
Yeah. Yep,
that's right. You're right. Very unusual for golf courses in general, certainly on the PGA Tour, so... That is one of the unique features of Greenbrier, and it's just a beautiful layout. When you watch it on TV, for people that haven't been there, such as myself, you do appreciate how beautiful that place is. Also appreciate how that tournament has done so much for the military and that area. It really brings in so many volunteers. Frank, you were telling me earlier that it's school lets out for a few days so that the kids can come and either volunteer or just be fans and come and watch the golf. And the guy who's responsible for all this is, of course, Jim Justice, who owns the Greenbrier, and a couple years ago, in case you haven't kept up with West Virginia politics, ran for and won the governor's seat. So Governor Jim Justice, who will be joining us, Frank was doing his best to be politically nice and get over there and try not to ruffle the governor's feathers, but apparently, Frank, you convinced him to come over and join us here in a few minutes?
I did. I met him last night for the first time at a super, super military tribute last night. They had the Army, one of the vocalists from the Army chorus here out of Washington, D.C., the president's, and they had the brass quintet from the president, the White House brass quintet performed, and had a Medal of Honor winner speak. He was at Iwo Jima, and it was very, and Governor Tom Ridge, or Secretary Tom Ridge of Homeland Security previously, was also in attendance and met him, talked to him. And it was really just very moving, very touching, and very a military tribute at the Greenbrier.
Wow, very nice. Very nice. We were talking about off the air before we came on about how far back this tournament goes, and people trying to remember. 2010, the inaugural, was won by Stuart Appleby. And if you remember, that was kind of during a rush. I believe right around there, it seemed like 59 was becoming commonplace. He shot a 59 when he won the inaugural Greenbrier Classic, which it was called back then. So he was the fifth player to shoot it. And I think shortly thereafter, or he came right after Paul Guidos doing it or whatever. So it goes back to 2010, was the first champion in the first tournament there at Greenbrier. But it's a really special place, isn't it, Frank?
It is. It is. And it's my first time. Well, I say first time. I was a child when I came here with my grandparents. But I haven't seen it as an adult. So it's actually, I feel like it's my first time here. And yeah. Jim Grunberg's first time here, too.
First time. And the cool thing this year is that it's actually the inaugural event of a new PGA Tour season. So we wrapped up the FedEx Cup just a couple of weeks ago, and that really this is it. So a lot of excitement out here, a lot of new players, everybody that got their card off of the Korn Ferry Tour last year or the Korn Ferry Tour Finals, really most of those players now have come here, and this is their first PGA Tour event for many of them. Not all of them, but I think there's close to 25 or 30 players who are playing in their first PGA Tour event as a member of the tour.
Yeah. You know, I talked this morning, I said to Governor, former governor and former Secretary of Homeland Security, Tom Ridge. He's playing today very appropriately with Billy Hurley III. So that would be a neat pairing, wouldn't it, Jim?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
So Bubba Watson's got a special history there as well. We'll talk a little bit more about Bubba. People watch him this weekend, I assume. This weekend he'll be playing there because he's played there five times, and he's gotten three top 15s in the five times that he's played there. He's played very, very well. But he has a place there. I think there's actually a few tournament tour players that have residence or at least property there at Greenbrier, don't they, Frank?
They do. They do.
I think Phil does,
the
too.
He does. The Sporting Club is what it's called. And it's I've been invited to play that private golf course, Tim. Ha-ha. Nice. So it's going to be fun. Met some members last night at the event. And, yeah, really, really neat. It's a neat place for players. A comment was made at our table last night. They said, Frank, you're going to want to live here if you stay here for a few days. And I totally agree. It's quiet. It's magical. It's beautiful. I don't know about the winters. I'm not a big snow person, but I'm sure they get a lot of snow up here in West Virginia in the winters.
Well, the East's largest ski resorts, Snowshoe, is in West Virginia,
right,
about an hour and a half north of here.
Well, you're a skier.
Right? Yeah. I'm a skier, and then I was asking a lot of questions last night. We stayed in a beautiful little town about 5 minutes away called Lewisburg, West Virginia, and we saw a lot of the tour players, a lot of the caddies, of course, all together in that town last night. Really pretty little town with a lot of history, and so it's being at 2,500 square feet. 2,500 feet above sea level.
2,500 square. That's a small town.
Oh my goodness! 2,500 feet above sea level. You get snow in the winter, and then of course it's cool enough, I guess, a little bit north of here for them to make snow year round. So, but 180 inches of snow I saw, annual snowfall up at Snowshoe. So an hour and a half from here. That's a lot, 180 inches of snow.
Well, if you go online and look at some of the pictures and go to greenbrier.com, you'll see all the beautiful pictures that they have there. You'll see a lot of snow pictures. So, yeah, they get a lot of snow at that resort. But, Frank, for people that haven't seen it yet, it's very palatial, isn't it? I mean, it almost looks like
an
enlarged White House with a great entrance there and whatever it is, 6-7 stories of all white room. I mean, it's just a gorgeous presence. It looks very regal.
I am up on the top floor. They put me up on the top floor. Cam Huffman, the head of PR and media relations for the Greenbrier. Thank you, by the way, Cam, for setting all this up for us here. It's very palatial. It has, the main entrance that you come into that's like a Magnolia Lane-ish style drive in, but it's a semicircle. And then it has an entrance higher up on the north end, and it's an incredible place. You really have to come here and see it to appreciate it. The pictures do not do this place justice whatsoever. And I'll tell you, looking at 18 right now, Yeah, like Jim Justice. Tongue in cheek.
Yeah.
18 has a ridge that runs from the front and semicircles all about the second third of the back. And they have the pin set today inside that ridge. So if you put it up above the pin today in the Pro-Am, mm-hmm. you're, for these amateurs, it's not going to be fun. there's no way to keep it on the green, Jim. What do you think?
No, I agree. And, you know, finishing in a par 3 is interesting because, obviously, sometimes you have to make up ground. You need to make a birdie. Going to 18 and having to make a birdie on a par 3 is a tough task. And but it is a really, really cool hole, and I love it. And, you know, here we are starting a new tour season. I was looking at a few changes for the year that might be of interest to some of the listeners. I thought one of the things that it's not huge, but I didn't know is that the PGA Tour now has moved to top 65 in ties from top 70 in ties. So for those of you that are used to watching your favorite player on that bubble, it's not 70 anymore. It's 65 now.
Yeah, well, five less.
Try to make it a little bit more exclusive on the weekends and a little bit fewer players that are out there and get more twosomes if they can rather than threesomes. Because you remember, it was also with some ties, so sometimes that 70 number would be almost 80.
Right. And then they had to implement the made cut, did not finish.
The mid-cup,
so,
yes.
Yeah. So I think they're more in line now with some of the other world tours right at the 65 number.
Yeah, that's a big change, though. A lot of people are talking about that change.
And we talked to Steve Halka.
Yes.
Caddying out here this week for Robert Garrigus, longtime popular caddy on the PGA Tour. And just talking to him about some of the other trends, how after a year the whole flagstick issue has shaken out.
And, oh, yeah.
Steve mentioned that in general now, out here on the PGA Tour, by the end of the season, there was sort of a rule that everybody was following, which was, you know, when the ball is outside of 40, 50 feet,
right,
they're leaving the stick in, but then, you know, once everybody's sort of inside that 30-foot circle, for the most part, they're playing it out. That's at least was his observation.
Yeah, that's, you know, we've talked about that at nauseam, Tim. You always kid me about I'm a child of the 70s or live back in the 70s. I don't like the stick in. I mean, it's okay if you're way out. So what? You know, you're probably not going to make it. But once I'm within 15, 20 feet, I don't want the stick in there. I want it out.
But that's more a visual thing, right, for you?
It is.
For probably a lot of people.
It is.
You're used to the look of it being out when you're certainly within 6 feet or 8 feet or 10 feet when you're going to putt. So I think for a lot of people, the stats, you know, showed, and they did a lot of this stuff, the stats showed that it's an advantage, sometimes smaller, but sometimes up to, you know, 15% more of an advantage of makes when the stick is left in. So, and some of it is just a target, right? You almost feel like you're shooting baskets and you have a backboard, and so it gives you an aggressive feel that you can kind of hit it a little bit harder. You don't leave as many putts short is kind of what they found out. But it's to each his own. You know, it was done more for the amateur golfers and for the millions of golfers that aren't playing on the tour to just speed things up so you're not constantly going back and forth. And it might seem incremental, put the pin in, take it out for this guy, then take it out for him and put it back in for this guy. But over the course of 18 holes, if it's 30 seconds here and there per hole, it could add 10 minutes to your round of golf, 15 minutes or something. And that's what they're trying to do, really, more than anything, is just try to keep the speed of play so you don't have to worry about somebody taking it out, putting it back in.
Tim and Jim, both, question for you guys. Do you think that rule will stand, or will they change it and go back to removing the stick?
I'll say that I think they're going to keep it. I think they've been very slow in changing any rules, USGA, RNA, and I think once they do, I don't know the history. I'd have to look back. I don't think they go back and change many that they've already changed or kind of updated, if you will, rules, and then it didn't work so well after 3 years or 5 years. Let's go back to what it was. I think they gave it a long, long look. Remember, they talked about this for years.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, we're going to do it, and they gave you like 3 years to get ready to do it. So I think in those 3 years, they kind of figured out that they like the rule, they don't like the rule. So I think now that they've changed it, I think they'll keep it there.
No, I would agree that there's not a history there of changing things very rapidly. So unless they started a trend where every year they sort of evaluated, okay, what worked, what didn't work, but we hadn't seen that up until now.
Yeah.
By the way, another group's coming up on 18 right now. Jim, you need to look at this putt this guy has. I'll let you call this putt. It's off the left edge of the green in the first little cut, and he has to go – well, how many feet is that, Jim?
Are we talking about the one here down short on the apron down there? Yeah.
No. Not on the apron. The one here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he's going to putt that.
Putt that across that ridge. And then it's going to turn right. It's going to go right as quick as you're making a U-turn.
Yeah, that's a fun putt. That is a fun putt because he's on the top of a two-tier right there, and it's going to race down.
Yeah, we need to get the we need to have Fred Albers up here to do this real quick. Freddie would say something like, "Well, this putt has more turn in it than half of a donut." So, yeah, it's fun to watch these amateurs play this golf course, especially, you know, although they have their forward tees they can play from, it's still set up on the greens like it's going to be starting tomorrow. So it's going to be tough.
No question about it. And for all of them, I mean, they're playing in front of a gallery here, so probably, you know, one of the bigger shots they've hit. So
Now they can't decide who the amateurs are pointing to each other. Is it you? Is it you? Is it me? Is it you? Oh, just putt.
So they're not scrambling. They're all playing their own ball here.
They're all playing their own ball. That was a nice up. He left it below the hole from off the front apron. So I'm anxious to see this putt. I'm sorry we're belaboring the show for a minute. But
yeah, that's all right.
All right, there's a – that was not pretty. Huh. Anyway.
You're going to have some long putts on these greens.
Yeah, you're going to have some long putts. These greens are pretty quick. Even the practice putting green yesterday was rolling out.
12 on the stimp is what they're targeting. So.
And I putt better at speed, Tim. So I don't like to have to ram it.
I don't either. And I've always liked, I've actually never disliked, although certainly nobody wants it record fast, but downhill putts. And as much as people say, oh, you left it, now it's an uphill putt, I get that you can kind of go for it. But I think more often than not, those uphill putts that people act like, oh, now they end up not hitting it hard enough.
He
leaving it short. Whereas if it's downhill, speed's not going to be your problem.
He did achieve 50% of the.
He halved it.
He halved the hole. He hit it halfway to the
and
hole.
And he's still on the top tier.
And he's still on the top
anything
tier.
Anything that could go wrong did go wrong on that.
Here he goes. He putters back. Ball's on its way. Wow. And he misses it. He leaves that short also. So, okay, never
would it
mind.
Be time to pick up, you think?
Yeah, I think he's in his pocket right now. There you go.
If you're an amateur, it might be. Hey, Jim Grunberg, by the way, with Seymour Putters. Tell us the latest on Seymour Putters. You got some new technology out there? You got some new putters?
We do, actually.
Showing to people?
Yeah. It's been a lot of fun. I mean, people that are familiar with Seymour Putters know that we've been around since Payne Stewart, 20-year anniversary last year. Mm-hmm. You hide the red dot. You line up the two white lines. It's a fabulous system. It's a putter and a system. People that end up putting a Seymour putter in play typically will never change again because you get better and better over time. The technology is that good. But we also run into players. I mean, there's a lot of marketing influences. There's a lot of golfers out there that see what other players are using. And for a long time now, the majority of putters sold at retail have had offset, okay? And so Seymour putters that we're known for.
I.e. Ping started all that, right?
Yeah. So, and, you know, to some extent, it's going to be dictated, what's in the pro shops is going to be dictated by those big three or four companies, what they want to put in there. So it's not necessarily an indication that those are better for the average player, but that's what's out there. And so golfers continue to see offset putters, and that's what it is. So we've been for a long time trying to figure out the best way to maybe incorporate a little bit of offset, but still take advantage of our full what we call rifle scope system, hiding the red dot, seeing the two white lines. We have a system that we've called, with a little bit of offset, called the whistle shaft that has a little double bend, and it's great, but it still never quite looked for the people that really want that hosel and the precision of having their hands just a slight bit forward. We haven't actually really had anything for them, and that's a lot of golfers until now. So we're out here with what we're calling the Seymour hosel. We had a lot of the media, Golf WRX, taking some pictures yesterday. I think the Seymour.com and our Instagram, we've put some pictures out. Again, just teasing it. But the feedback has been phenomenal. That's why we came out to this type of event with prototypes. These are tour prototypes. And we wanted to get some feedback. And it's been fantastic because it really does. It sort of works, again, why else do you want to hide the red dot? You want to hide it so that you're set square every time and you're in the same place every time so you can take the same confident putting stroke. And this does everything that we've done for 20 years, but just maybe the hands will be just a little bit forward. And for a lot of the players on tour, again, if that's all they've ever been using, then they think that's their point of reference, and that's going to be great for them. So we're excited. It's just hopefully going to dramatically expand the universe of golfers that would consider a Seymour putter.
Well, let me ask you this. Now, when you talk about the offset and the hands are a little in front, a lot of golfers, not a lot, but some golfers have that forward press. That, to me, I don't. When I have that offset, I don't forward press. And I caught myself with the center shaft sometimes trying to forward press with my Seymour putter.
Interesting. Okay.
And it really changed the dynamics of the putter to the negative, really, because I'm not supposed to do that with that putter.
Right. So what you'll find is, again, the number of golfers that forward press is declining, and particularly at the high end. If you look on tour, a lot of golfers don't forward press, but they will maybe have their hands just set slightly forward of center, right? And that's what this new Seymour hosel will do. So the shaft will still be vertical. We don't really want a forward press, because a forward press introduces quite a big variable that's tough to repeat from putt to putt. So this one, your eyes are going to be hiding the bottom part of the shaft. Okay, if you can imagine, the bottom part of this hosel is really looks just like a shaft. It looks like 3 inches of shaft that go into the head and cover the red dot and hide the white lines. It's just that above that, there's now a turn and in a plumber's neck and sort of a connector that then will bring the top part of the shaft over slightly to the front. And so you can still have that nice, beautiful, gentle arc stroke that really 99% of great putters will use. And everything sets up great. It's just that your hands are, so it's going to, you won't feel, Frank, like you're battling to get your hands forward.
Yeah.
They're already going to be there.
Yeah, and de-lofting the putter, which is a huge negative too.
You don't want to do that. So now the 2.5 degrees of loft that we mill into our putters is already there, so it's going to hit with the same loft, so you get the same rollout with the same stroke every time. And when you hide the red dot, you know you're not open, you're not closed, you know that the loft is fixed. So, again, golfers should take a look at it. Seymour.com has got a lot of really good information. Anybody reaches out to us via email or phone,
your team responds quickly.
Well, we don't just build putters. We're trying to help people putt better. So we're way, way out there at the forefront in terms of working with our instructors and our fitting accounts to make sure that somebody doesn't just come in and grab a putter that they like off the shelf, but they can talk to somebody about how it might work best for them.
Well, Seymour.com has something else. But you know what? Let's take a quick break, Tim, because we're going to get the governor in a seat here, and we're going to have Governor Jim Justice join us after the break. What do you think?
Okay, let's do it. We're being joined by Frank Bassett and Jim Grunberg at the Military Tribute at the Greenbrier, and we're going to come back, talk with the governor of West Virginia, Jim Justice, and the owner of the Greenbrier when we come back right here on Golf Talk America. So stay with us. And welcome back to Golf Talk America here on PGA Tour Radio. Tim Matthews in the Dallas studios, being joined at the Military Tribute at the Greenbrier by Frank Bassett and Seymour Putters CEO Jim Grunberg. We've been talking about the tournament and all the beauty of the golf course, the resort itself, Greenbrier, and everything in about a 20-mile radius of the Greenbrier. And all of that is the responsibility of the governor of West Virginia, Jim Justice, who owns the Greenbrier and the last couple of years moved into politics and has been governor and gracious enough to join us here in this great day as we're getting ready to start tomorrow, the first round of the Military Tribute at the Greenbrier. Governor Justice, thanks so much for being with us today.
Oh, Tim, thank you so much. And Frank and Jim, thank you guys as well. And I'm tickled to death you're here and here in West Virginia. I mean, absolutely. It's a beautiful state, great people, and I couldn't be more proud of our state, but I'm proud of our whole nation in every way, shape, form, or fashion.
Governor, I have to tell you, last night, the military tribute that you had with the one of the chorus members from the Army Chorus and the brass quintet from Washington was here also. But I had the opportunity to sit with one of your members, Tom Crabtree.
Oh, yeah.
Was at the table with me, and his daughter, who, by the way, holds 3 different degrees from 3 different schools.
Sure.
I was at the wrong table. But Tom is a member here, I guess, at your sporting club.
Right.
The sporting club. Tell us a little bit about that sporting club, because this is pretty interesting.
Well, the sporting club is just another extension of the Greenbrier and everything. It has its own exclusive course. I mean, it's got the Snead course down there. It's a really challenging, wonderful course. we're in the process of building another course, a mountain course, you know, that joins right into Oakhurst, which is the first original golf club ever established in the U.S. I mean, it's 1874. I have the first medal ever given, you know.
Wow.
And this is the first organized club, but it's a little nine-hole course, you know, hickory sticks and all that kind of stuff. But joining that was the Oakhurst, another piece of property that we thought, well, what would be a wonderful place to build a mountain course. And really and truly, we got Arnie and we got Jack Nicklaus and Gary Player and Lee Trevino to design it together. And to get them to play in the sandbox was a big deal. And then wow. They all did. We got the course designed. We got it all roughed in. And then the flood hit in June of 2016, and it just devastated this entire place. And so we lost Arnie in the meantime, and, you know, we just love him with all of our soul. And so, you know, everything's roughed in, it's ready to go, but it's there was a lot of attention that had to be paid right here because the golf courses were washed away here. We lost all kinds of people. We hunted bodies on the golf course. We found bodies on the golf course.
Oh, my
gosh. We hunted a little 14-year-old girl for 6 weeks and finally found her. Worst thing I've ever been through. So this area has been through a real blow, but we've come back, and that's the resiliency of West Virginians. You know, there was a lot of places in our state that got hit at the same time, and so... you know, it's a wonderful state, like I said, wonderful people. We're very happy to have you here.
Hey, Tim, you know, I told you earlier that Tom Crabtree's daughter looked at me last night, and she said, Frank, it's your first time here? And I said, well, I came as a child with my grandparents.
Right.
But this is my first time as an adult to this spectacular place. And she said, Frank, you're going to want to live here. You're going to love, I know your personality, you're going to love West Virginia.
Well.
And it is. The people are so warm and so caring. Mm-hmm. And you, Governor, are so open. You got up there last night to make your talk, and kudos to you because you said, I don't have any notes. I just speak from my heart. And you do that, and I told you last night, I really respect your heart and your words because you're a man that believes what you say and you say what you mean. I love that about you.
Well, I appreciate that because that's all I know to do. You know, I didn't run for office for anything whatsoever to do with me. I really want to just try to help and do the right thing. You know, our forefathers served, and a lot of politicians have gotten a long ways away from that today. But nevertheless, you know, the whole gist of the tournament, you know, in paying real tribute to the military is a big time honor for me, and it's not only heartwarming, but it's real, and we owe these people, we owe them everything. I mean, for crying out loud, at the end of the day, that's all there is to it. But so often, it's not that we take them for granted, but sometimes we just go asleep at the switch and don't really pay them the level of gratitude that we should all the time. And so it's a real honor for me.
And you had Tom Ridge, our former Pennsylvania governor and Secretary of Homeland Security, last night, gave a talk. The most touching talk last night, guys, Tim, Jim, everybody, was a veteran that got up, and I mean, everybody had tears in their eyes when he completed that talk, and he was at Iwo Jima.
That was
incredible that man just even at his age still sharp as a tack, and it made you sit up and thank the people who lay their lives on the line every day for our freedoms.
That's right. Medal of Honor winner. Woody Williams. I mean, I think Woody's 95 years old.
Wow.
He speaks so eloquently. It's unbelievable, isn't it? I mean, really something.
It was.
And if that didn't touch your heart, well, you don't have a heart. That's all there is to it. But he's an amazing man. That's all there is to it. Amazing.
Amazing. Tim, we didn't mean to leave you out.
That's all right. We're joined by Jim Justice, who is the governor of West Virginia, also the owner of the Greenbrier Resort. Going back to 2010, first tournament, Governor Justice, and now you're sitting there looking at it in 2019, but from a different kind of vantage point as the governor as well as the owner. Is it a different way of this tournament coming about? Do you have to have different hats on while you're watching, or do you still get to do or enjoy the thing? The tournament and the events around it as you did before, or is it different?
Well, it's different. You know, I'm still going to enjoy every moment of it and be very, very proud of what we're doing here. You know, it's the first FedEx big time event ever to come to the state of West Virginia, and we appreciate the tour and all the great players and the great people that work with the tour and everything. But you know, it is different, you know, because you know you want to first and foremost represent the state. You know, owning the Greenbrier and representing the state at the same time can be challenging. But this place has been here since the late 1700s, and you know, it's entertained tens and tens and tens of presidents, and it's just the Greenbrier is a really special place that we're really proud of in West Virginia. And I tell people all the time, you know, I'm only a caretaker. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, as time moves on and everything, someone else will take the helm. But this place abounds with 2,000 of the best people on the planet that make me look a lot better than I am all the time. I'm very fortunate to have a wonderful daughter that's a doctor that's running the Greenbrier, and a wonderful son that's running her other businesses. And my wife, Kathy, kind of keeps me going on the straight and narrow as much as she possibly can. But a great, great family. We have our first grandchild and riding him around in the golf cart. And he's like 20 months old and bouncing off the walls. So that's really neat stuff.
I have to tell you, and Jim, you've experienced this. Tim, you haven't. We're out, of course. I'm out on tour almost every week at different venues. Everyone in the media center, from the Golf Channel people to the PGA Tour folks, our team, our radio play-by-play team, is raving about, number one, the presentation, the service, and the quality of the food that's here. It's incredible. Right. This is the best. Used to be Honda Classic, we would say, was pretty good. This trumps them all.
I love it. It's great.
Food here is absolutely incredible. Well, but it's even the service and the presentation. The people are just magical here. They're happy to do their job, and it shows in their attitude.
Well, at the end of the day, I always say this about West Virginians. You know, there's lots of places you go where people are kind. They become almost robotic and everything. They can even reach the level of loving. But West Virginians have another component. You know, not only do they love, but they appreciate others. They appreciate you being here because that is that means their job, their opportunity in life. And you know, their dad's dad worked here. And for crying out loud, you know, you are so appreciated being here. It's unbelievable. And that's the way the people are here. And that's the way we are all across our state.
Well, Tim, last night, I'm sorry, Jim. I know you want to jump in.
No. That's felt. Cam, I think everybody feels that. And it's an incredible feeling. And I think they're just the Greenbrier. It's America's resort.
It is.
The history there is incredible. Love to hear a little bit more about that. But what a chance to showcase your great state with probably one of the still coolest resorts in the world in terms of look at it and the setting in the mountains here. Right. And it should be on everybody's bucket list.
Well, I think that for sure. But at the same time, you know, there's many places within this state. Yeah, this state always, I mean, just to tell it like it is, this state was always thought of as being, you know, dark and backward and a lot of things like that. I mean, and that's just, and today we're emerging with the fastest growing economy in the country, and we've come that way, you know, and I don't want to pat myself on the back because there are a lot of people, but when I rolled in the gates, we were bankrupt as a state, and today we're cooking and everything. All that's just wonderful, but the thing that is really neat is you went back and said something, you know, you'd like to know something about the Greenbrier. I mean, you think in these mountains and everything, you know, Dwight Eisenhower decided we had to build a bunker here in order to be able to house the Congress in case we had a nuclear attack or whatever like that. And it was kept so secretive, it was unbelievable, and then finally exposed by some reporter in the Washington Post or something like that. But for 40 years, no one knew. And the neatest thing of the whole thing is that they had a little TV repair group that worked in the hotel, and they'd come and fix your TV. But they were working for the Secret Service and the CIA, and they were manning the bunker every day. I mean, they had medicine in the lockers of everybody in the Congress and everything. Everything all set up at all times, and yet they would come into your room, fix your TV and everything. You had no idea who they were.
That's funny.
It was amazing stuff.
Is it in close proximity to the hotel?
Oh,
the bunker?
Yeah, it's right underneath the hotel.
It is right underneath. Yeah.
You know, and
they have bunker tours now. It's declassified,
yeah,
so
that's
you can
right.
see
it's
it.
Declassified, yeah. So they can take people on tours. They do it every day, and they show them, you know, all the stuff and everything. It's amazing. It is absolutely amazing.
Yeah, they've since moved that somewhere else, a location that will go unnamed, but it's the state I was born in. So I kind of know where it is, but. I don't know where it is, you know. But no, this governor last night. Thank you. I commandeered you in your golf cart, getting ready to to go hit some golf balls, yeah. And so you. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Well,
now I got to tell you, Cam Huffman is responsible for my being here and this show, PGA Tour Radio, being here.
That's great.
So last night you told a great story about Cam and who was the basketball player that he accidentally tell just a short smidgen of that story.
Bring me back. Help me because I was telling so many different stories.
Well, this is the story that he was. You had a big time basketball player that was coming here to play in the pro am or whatever. And you said, don't send that email out, or was it something like that?
It was Shaquille.
Shaquille O'Neal, yeah.
I mean, and what we did, I mean, Shaq and I are buddies and everything, and I had invited him to come, but he hadn't committed, you know, to come for sure at the time and everything. And so Cam gets the press release all put together and everything, and we're waiting on Shaq to call. I mean, he's a wonderful guy, and the guy that works with him, you know, Mike, and Mike and I are great buddies, just great guys, okay? And so, nevertheless, you know, Cam is a new employee, 1 month on the job. He's got the press release all ready to go and everything. And some way mistakenly hits send, and it goes to every news outlet all across our state. And we don't have permission from Shaq. Well, then all of a sudden they're traveling in Europe or whatever like that, and we can't get a hold of him. I mean, Cam was an absolute basket case, and I would have killed him if Shaq would have gotten mad. But nevertheless, it all worked out good.
It was a great story. He was a great MC last night for the event.
Cam's
but
a great guy.
He's a great guy, and he we tried to do this last year and it didn't work out. But this year he made sure that it happened and brought us in. And man, I got to tell you, this is really incredible.
And I think you've got a great spot here, launching a new PGA Tour season.
Oh, sure.
I mean, you really, it's a fantastic date to
have. I think it'll really grow. And you know, Tom Ridge was incredible.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Governor Ridge was fantastic. And, you know, Cam does all my high school basketball games. You know, and I've
well,
coached
tell us
forever.
About that. You're still doing that, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure doing it and everything. Guys, I love kids. And I've coached forever. I've probably coached 1,300 games. And you know, just... But I was coaching the boys' team and the girls' team at the highest level of public school, you know that you can be in West Virginia. I got to give up the boys' team because it was just too much and everything. But you know, Cam still does all of our games and everything. He just gets into it like crazy, and he does a really good job.
Well, now, Governor, you played college golf, I believe. Did you not?
I did. I played a little while for Tennessee, and then transferred to Marshall. I was actually captain of Marshall's team a couple of years. I was a whole lot better when I was 17 than any time in college. When I got to college, there was a lot of fun things that I kind of got into a little bit too much.
I went to Ole Miss, so I can relate to that.
Well, I mean, I actually had an incredible short game, and all of a sudden I started getting stronger, and I could hit the ball finally and everything, but the short game went out the window. So nevertheless,
well, Tim can relate to your short game. Tim, we call him Tim the Yip.
Oh no, yeah, no, please don't start that. I got to play today, and I haven't played a whole golf in a year, so this is going to be an adventure.
I am curious.
So you're a Vol. You started as a Vol.
I did.
That's
we're not even going to talk about UT.
I had a son that started as a Vol, and I know what happens when you become a Vol.
Yeah.
Well, I lived in Gibbs Hall. I don't know if you remember Gibbs Hall and everything. It's where all the athletes were and everything. It's pretty interesting.
I was driving here, and I saw a bunch of moving vans rolling into Knoxville. Don't know what that's all about.
I don't know what's going on with the football team. My God, 11, Jim. I mean, let's get it going a little bit.
I'm sorry, Tim. Go ahead.
I was just saying we're joined by Governor Jim Justice of the state of West Virginia, and, of course, Frank and Jim Grunberg joining there at the military tribute at the Greenbrier. I am curious, Governor, is politics in your future, or is this kind of just a short blip on the screen and you're going to do all the great things you're doing and get back to being a businessman at the Greenbrier, or is it kind of fitting your personality more than you might have thought it would be, politician?
Well, I don't know that it's fitting my personality. You know, we have gotten a lot done in West Virginia, and that makes me feel really, really good. And things are a lot better. I think I'm well, I know I'm running for re-election, but you know, beyond that, there sure ain't any other ambitions on my radar. That's for sure. Well, I don't think I could traipse off to D.C. I love this place too much.
Well, you said you're here. You did it to help people, and you've certainly proven that and done that in this state. And kudos and good on you for that, sir.
Thank you all so
thank
much.
Thank you. What a beautiful, beautiful state.
Thank you guys for all y'all do all the time. Oh. I mean, you really do. I mean, you know you do. I mean, you know, and all the work that you put in and everything sometimes probably goes not noticed and near enough, but I really appreciate all the effort and all the great stuff you do every day.
Well, thank you, sir, so much.
Thank you so much, Governor.
Thank you, guys.
Pleasure to have you on.
All right. It's my pleasure. Thank y'all.
Thanks again, Governor Jim Justice, state of West Virginia. I don't know. We got 15 minutes with him there, Frank.
Yeah, it was great. We took too much of his time.
Any governor like that? Well, yeah.
Thank you, Governor, so much.
Such a
play well
guy.
Out there. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. The governor's he's putting his hat on. He's going off to play some golf, Tim.
What hasn't he done? I mean, he coaches basketball. He's a coal mining company. He's a governor. He, by the way, Frank, the history of the Greenbrier?
Yes.
They were in a bit of trouble, or more than a bit of trouble, like he was relating there to the state of West Virginia having financial troubles.
Yes.
That's where the Greenbrier was when he took it over back in 08, 09. And now it's thriving and is beautiful, best resort in the country. But they were in financial troubles back then. So he does have a kind of a Midas touch, doesn't he?
Yeah, he really does. And he's just a pleasure to be around. And he's not a politician, you know.
He says what he wants to say and isn't worried about, not that he was going to offend anybody, but he doesn't worry about saying it just the right way or having a prompter in front of him. He just talks to people.
You know, we're very careful on this show about, you know, not mixing politics. But I just felt like it was important because, again, his family, he owns the Greenbrier, and he's responsible for a military tribute at the Greenbrier. And I just felt like we needed him on here. It wasn't a political announcement. It was just to have a great man who's done a lot for a lot of people and continues to do so on our show.
What a super cool guy.
Isn't he cool?
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
He speaks from the heart. He truly does.
You can see why he's successful, right? I mean, he's just a genuine guy.
Very, very genuine. So was Tom Ridge this morning, though. Jim, we met him this morning, talked to him, and he was animated and fun and laughing and backslapping. And, you know, and I asked Jim Grunberg from Seymour Putter Company, I said, Jim, imagine what that man knew when he was Secretary of Homeland Security during those days after 9/11.
Yeah, so. Bush era.
How many people have, how many governors have Shaquille O'Neal? You know,
as a buddy.
You know, as a buddy, right?
Texting him
on fast style.
Well, the story last night had everybody breaking up in the room because Cam was, of course, emceeing the event, and the governor was up on stage and said, "Yeah, I'd have killed him. I'd have fired him right then." So I don't believe he would have. I think you would have given him a second chance.
Yeah. Mistaken. Somebody backing up a cart there?
Yeah. There are all sorts of carts. We've had all the players walking
cart.
By.
That's the governor's cart.
Is that the governor's cart?
That's the governor's cart.
That's how the governor lets you know he's coming. He backs his way in.
Yep, he's heading out, and that was incredible. So
that was neat.
Good guy.
That was neat. That was a lot of fun.
Pretty much Mr. West Virginia.
He is Mr. West Virginia. Let's get back to Seymour for just a minute, because as the governor was coming up, I was about to say that there's more on Seymour.com than just a lot of great information and videos and things like that. You guys have a new podcast.
We do have a new podcast, and it was sort of brought to you by the Seymour Putter Company's tour team. It's called The Putting Couch.
Okay.
You can search it on any of the ways you like to get your podcasts. And
iTunes, TuneIn, all that.
Exactly. Yeah, and we've had 15 episodes so far, and it's all things putting. It's really not about Seymour. It's just about everything about putting that's really never been talked about before. And we talk about the instruction, we talk about fitting, we talk about great stories from tour insiders during great events and what was happening in terms of the pressure putts, and we talk about the mental side of the game, which of course is huge. So it's a lot of fun. We've just started it, but it really is the only podcast out there that is exclusively devoted to all things putting, and it's called The Putting Couch. Of course, the couch, sort of a little symbolism there with the psychology of it,
right?
The fact that the game is so much between the ears, and But it's we've had a lot of fun with it. You can kind of listen to it sequentially. You could actually go and listen to it in tracks, where if you want to focus in on the instruction part or the mental part or the tour stories part, those are all sort of broken out. So it's been a lot of fun.
So you've really done it right, unlike what we do on Golf Talk America, which is just talk about anything and everything.
Well, I mean, I think the world needs all types of podcasts. Yeah. And again, we're affiliated with the PGA Tour here, and we have access to, you know, the most interesting people in the world.
Absolutely.
Of tour golf. So that's incredible. And what we're trying to do with the Putting Couch is just dial in for, you know, on something that's very, very specific. Hey, let's talk about putting. Because again, when you talk to people at almost every level of golf, most of them will tell you, you know, I really wish I spent more time on my putting, practicing my putting, learning about putting, thinking about putting. It's sort of still the last frontier. And, you know, I think year after year we're getting closer to it, but it's just not still at the level of the rest of the game.
I heard you yesterday, and I will not say the player you were talking to, but I heard you make a comment about his putting, and you were very candid. You know him, and everybody knows everybody out here pretty much. And you talked about being aggressive as opposed to being defensive in putting. Can you share a little bit of that conversation with us, but not who the player was?
Well, no, I mean, and Dr. Bob Winters, who is one of our regular contributors on the Putting Couch, is a guy that, you know, people can listen to. And, you know, it really has to do with the mindset of you can make every putt. And every putt you take, you really, in your own mind, you should be prepared to make it, right? Because if you're not stepping up to every putt thinking you can make it, then you're really not going to make it. And the next putt might not be so easy either. So it really is a mindset. And I think ultimately, to win out on the PGA Tour, I mean, you're not going to back yourself into something, right? You have to, from the get-go, you have to be putting to win. And, you know, if the cost of being aggressive is maybe ending up with a few more three putts than you like, you have to weigh that against how many more putts are you going to make over 10 feet that you would never make if you're not somewhat aggressive, right? And if it's a trade-off of, I made 8 putts over 10 feet or over 15 feet during a tour event, and I three-putted 3 times because of it, you know, there might be a net gain there still on your own tab of 5 strokes that you wouldn't get to if you were just trying to 2-putt. So,
he was shaking his head up and down. He was agreeing with everything you were saying.
I think it's one of those things where sometimes you, at every level, you have to recalibrate. You have to go back to what, you know, makes you great. And sometimes, again, out here, it is about making putts. And,
yeah. Boy, and, Tim, you know that.
Yeah.
It's all about putting out here.
The Platinum Series that you guys have, they're just beautiful putters too. I mean, and I know you know this. We talked about it as much in marketing. When it comes to putters and golf clubs in general, sure, there's the technology and how's it work and what's it do and all this kind of stuff. But you've got to have eye appeal, and there's no two ways around it. If you had a really unattractive putter, driver, whatever, people just aren't going to pick it up off the shelf. They're not going to go to the website and look at it. You guys have really, really pretty putters that I know you guys work hard at that too, but that Platinum Series in particular, Jim, those things are gorgeous.
No, we appreciate that. Those are 100% milled in the United States, and I mean, we put a lot of extra work into those putters so that they will have the appeal. But the funny thing about putting is that having that level of appeal, I think, does translate into your putting, because into your confidence. If you know that
absolutely.
What you've set down
you
is
feel.
Perfect, exactly, and it's how you feel about something, it's gonna contribute, right? So there are, you know, there are extreme-looking products sometimes that work their way into golf and putters and whatever. And, I mean, even functionally and technology-wise, somebody might, you know, for a couple of rounds, show you that there's something to it. But we all know that in the end of the day, we're going to have rounds where, honestly, we're not going to be happy with our putting. It might have nothing to do with the stroke. It might have to do with the way you're reading the greens those days.
It
may have something to do with something else. But if you don't love looking at it, it's you're going to have a hard time getting through the rocky times. And I think that's why not only do we have a functional technology with our rifle scope technology, but we know that each of our putters also has to look really, really nice, so that, again, it's over the long haul, you're going to be a better putter. We know that, but we also know that you also need something there that, you know, at certain days you're just going to have to say, you know what, I just didn't have a great day, and move on.
What was the putter? What's the model number that I was putting with yesterday so much? The S1?
You had an SI5.
SI5.
Yeah, which is a...
Look at the SI5 on the... Is it on the website?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay, it's out there. So check that putter out, Tim. That's It was working for Uncle Frank, I'll tell you that. SI5, yeah. You can't have one.
That's not true, Tim. Hey, by the way, Tim, you and I will talk off.
Oh, don't do this to me. And, Tim, did you give those demo AP3s back, by the way?
I'm having trouble hearing you, Frank.
I knew it.
Somehow in the headphones.
Hello, are you there? Can you hear me now?
This is the golf business. We'll work for perks, right?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
I told you, I changed my middle name to Dimitri.
Dimitri, and your nickname's Demo?
So they call me Demo.
Got the Demo
at the club,
stickers
I'm known as Demo. No, I haven't.
Does it say stolen on the bag, too, or what?
As far as I know, they have no idea. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
I am liking
here, here comes one of our favorite caddies and favorite players. Bubba Watson's heading out to the course right now. So, and Mr. Scott.
He likes that course, doesn't he?
Yes, he does this course. He has a place here, too. So, yeah, fabulous.
That makes it easy, doesn't it, too, when you get to – of course, a lot of these tour pros, you wonder, a lot of these events, you know, golf tournaments, are played at – resorts all over the place, or certainly there's resorts nearby, but we've learned that in the last several years it's really changed. If you're top 50 type player, the hotels are fewer and far between. You're more and more staying either in a house you may own nearby because you can afford five houses now, or you just rent a house from someone in a neighborhood that's near the golf course in a nicer house. You don't see a lot of the guys. We were at the Medina, Frank. Remember at the resort we were staying at, which is a very nice place. But Phil Mickelson and a number of other players were playing right there because it was very convenient, right next to
back door
to Medina. But for a lot of these guys, they find houses. So when you're saying that about Bubba, I was just thinking how nice it is that he gets to actually sleep in his own bed and on because he has that place. But more and more, those guys, it's not really their place, but they kind of get that feel for a week with their family and whoever stay there. That's what guys are doing now. The top players, they can afford to do it.
Yeah.
They just rent somebody's house for $10,000 for the week and say, you guys move out. We'll pay your mortgage for the next 6 months, and you're just going
to
stay here.
Well, I can't wait to get out on the Sporting Club course, the Snead course, which is supposed to be, as we talked about earlier, just fabulous. So that's going to be fun. I'll tell you, I'll take pictures for you, Tim.
All right. Well, go do it. Go do it. Yeah,
Jim's not going to let me near the putting green today because he knows I start grabbing putters as they're packing. So I'll be good. I'll stay away, Jim. So
how about this one?
Jim Grunberg has been a friend of mine since I came to Nashville and was the first, you know, how can I help you, Frank? You know, what can we do for you to keep you going, get you started, throw our name out there, use it. And for that, my friend, I am ever so grateful for your friendship, number one, and number two, for your support.
No, I appreciate it. You guys have done a great job taking this show and running with it, and I know that it's one of the top shows on the entire PGA Tour Network. Congratulations.
Thank you.
It was fun to be part of the early days in Nashville when I'd drive up early and we'd go on.
Oh.
So I love doing it, and anytime that Tim is off playing golf and you know you need
a lot.
Just give me a call. Maybe not anytime, but
missing in action, Tim. Am I Tim?
Over somewhere stealing clubs.
Yeah, I remember a real quick funny story for our listeners. Mark Zucchino used to do a show on SiriusXM PGA Tour Radio called,
Wrap-Up?
The Wrap. Yeah.
The Wrap.
The Wrap Show.
Yeah.
And Mark was unavailable. Well, they asked me to find somebody to help with, so I had Jim come into the studio and do it. And that was pretty nerve-wracking because we're having technical problems and trying to get hooked up to CBS in New York, and it was crazy. And Jim just pulled it off like a champion. Just because, what was your major in college, Jim?
Well, I it was political science and economics, my passion was radio. So I did radio, you know, college radio from the get go. So I did have 4 years of broadcasting basketball games and football games
What was the name of that junior college?
Yeah, Stanford.
Yes, yeah, Stanford
University.
Junior College. <There you go. laughs>
It is actually called Leland Stanford Junior University. So
it is. You're right.
It's a junior university.
It's a junior university. I couldn't get in if they blew a hole in the wall and shoved me through it. I barely got into Ole Miss, and that's only because I bought a liquor store in town. So, no, I'm kidding. I'm joking. This is PGA Tour Radio. We'll be nice. Tim, we're going to have a blast. We really wish you were here. It's magical to have this huge military equipment out on the course, helicopters and assault vehicles and, of course.
How fast do you think that thing could get me back to Nashville?
I think you could get back to Nashville on that puppy pretty quick. Yeah, I think so. You can fly private with that. Yeah. Strap you in the military seat and let you go.
There were four
FA-18s. Frank?
Yeah, there were four FA-18s that flew over early this morning as part of the tribute. They had a moment of silence. It was really
for
cool.
September the 11th. Yeah, and I was Fox News replayed their broadcast this morning, Tim. It was I caught a little bit of it, and I just couldn't even watch it, to be honest. I had to turn it off. Because it showed the whole thing, people jumping out of the windows to avoid burning to death, and it was just brutal to watch. But let's get back to happier things. This tournament kicks off tomorrow, the 2019-2020 PGA Tour season, a military tribute at the Greenbrier. We're here all week until the last putt drops, and we're excited to be here. This is a super, 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 super magical place.
All right. Well, you guys get out there, play a little bit of golf. I got stuff to do here in Dallas.
Like what?
I'm looking at another set.
Another set of demo clubs you're going to steal. Okay.
There's another set that I can hang on to for 6 or 8 months until they okay. notice those are missing. I just stay one step ahead of the executioner here.
I understand.
Hey, thanks everybody for listening. We do appreciate it. We had a great show today, and we owe a lot of that to the governor of West Virginia, Jim Justice, also the owner of the Greenbrier. Thank you so much for him being with us. And be sure to go to greenbrier.com, check it out on the website. As a vacation place for anybody out there, winter, summer, skiing, golf, you name it, they've got it right there at the Greenbrier. Be sure to check them out. Also, to Jim Grunberg, CEO of Seymour Putters. So check out Seymour Putters. Go to their website as well, Seymour.com, Seymour.com, and see their beautiful putters that will be in Frank's hand here in about 3 days. And he'll be putting with them, and as are a lot of players on the Pro Tour. For Frank Bassett, Jim Grunberg, I'm Tim Matthews. Thanks for being with us. Join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.